Welcome to The Grill Room. On the menu this week, all the latest news, views, and opinions from the world of professional golf. Your maitre d's are Bob Bubka and Alex Maselli, two friends who rarely agree on anything. You can count on them to give you both sides of the story, whether you want it or not. So come on in, have a seat, and remember, anything that comes from The Grill Room is definitely on our tab. The Grill Room, presented by Transitions Adaptive Sunglasses. And remember, keep your applause to a mild clap, all right? After all, we're talking golf here.
Hey, listeners, I think it's about time we start playing again, as we do every year. Where in the world is Alex Maselli?
I am a traveling man. Well, I ain't a traveling man.
I did get a little tip off. I want to bring him in here. He had an opportunity to spend a couple of days at probably the best golf destination in the United States, Bandon Dunes. How was your little R&R, Alex?
Well, Bob, thank you. I mean, as everyone can hear, obviously my R&R was better than whatever you were doing on your R&R.
Yeah, you don't want to go through that, I guarantee you.
But, Bandon Dunes, it's just unbelievable. The weather cooperated for most of the time, and the golf courses were great. And, it's hard to believe you're playing golf in southern Oregon on November 1st. But I was, and it's terrific. Cold in the morning and warms up, and I think I might have mentioned this a couple weeks ago, but there was a ranking that came up by Golf Magazine by Joe Passoff that said that the Broadmoor supplanted Bandon Dunes as the number one golf resort in the United States. Now I have to tell you, I've been to the Broadmoor, and yes, they have elevators. And yes, they probably have better food, but I'm not going to a golf resort to eat. I'm going to a golf resort to play golf. And I don't know of any resort in this country and probably in this world that has better golf courses than Bandon Dunes. So I find it just utterly shocking that someone would suggest that the Broadmoor should be the venue in the United States versus Bandon Dunes.
You know, Alex, I've been fortunate enough to have been at both places. And the way I look at it, I mean, the Broadmoor Hotel, certainly iconic in the United States, fantastic place to go and stay. But if you're evaluating destinations as golf destinations, I mean, the combinations of golf courses at Bandon Dunes is unequaled in the United States. I mean, you feel so much like you've gone to Scotland while you're playing golf in Oregon.
Yeah, it's just terrific. The courses are in great shape. Everything is great. So I don't really understand that whole nine yards, but, you just have to ignore some people. I guess they're trying to make a splash or something. I have no idea, but call a spade, and in this particular case, that was a wrong decision by these people. Bandon Dunes is clearly the best golf resort in the United States.
I took a pretty good look at the Broadmoor, too, an unusual look because it was my first hot air balloon ride, and that was quite an experience. The one thing that I came away with that most people will be surprised, I think, other than when they fire up the thrust thing that causes that flame to go up into the tube. And when they shut that off, it is absolutely dead silence. And I actually asked the pilot of the hot air balloon, I said, it seems so unusual. There's no noise. He says, that's what happens when you're moving exactly the same speed as the wind.
Well, that's interesting. Are you sure when you were in that balloon that you actually used that thing to heat up the air, or they didn't just use you?
Well, we alternated. A lot of times they would point to me. I'd give them a little hot air. We'd go up high enough. But it really was a magnificent experience. And the Broadmoor landscape there is fantastic to look at. But and the golf course certainly is great in itself. But, to me, the definition of a golf destination, I want a little variety. in the golf courses that I play, and I don't want to go a long way between golf courses, and that's exactly what Bandon Dunes provides.
Oh, absolutely. There's four 18-hole courses and the par 3, which is 13 holes, and now they built a punch bowl, which is a putting course. I mean, it's just, it's, you know, there's no reason to discuss it any further. It was an error in judgment by someone that decided that Bandon Dunes shouldn't be number one.
The only comments that I got that, you know, it's it, even though it's reasonable, you still have to put out some money. But I understand under your conditions or the conditions of your travel, I should say, that's not a requirement.
You sound like personal comments.
Well, just it's almost a clear-cut picture of the life of Alex Maselli versus the life of Bob Bupka. Alex Maselli's at Bandon Dunes playing golf. I'm in the hospital getting, believe it or not, emergency surgery that I'm proud to say came out okay. But, boy, what a clearer picture. You're not going to get one better than that. Bandon Dunes Hospital. Alex Bandon Dunes, poor Bob, in the hospital. All right.
You know what else? You know what else? In the next week now, you get to recover, and I go to Shanghai.
Yeah, well.
And then the following week, I go to Turkey, and you're still recovering.
Yeah, and I might gain the advantage over the next couple of weeks, but you certainly went up after 1 week. That is for sure. Time to remind people now you're listening to the Grill Room, presented by Transitions Adaptive Sunglasses. Equipment for a visual advantage, and powered by Golf Week, where you go inside the ropes. Also, I want you to remember you can follow us on Twitter at TGR Golf and on Facebook at the Grill Room Golf Show. We'll start our trip around the world of golf when we return.
You're listening to The Grill Room, presented by Transitions Adaptive Sunglasses.
The outside light and weather change. Your sunglasses should too. Transitions Adaptive Sunglass Lenses change their level of darkness depending on the light outside to enhance your vision during golf and other outdoor activities. Partnered with Callaway, Oakley, and Nike, Transitions Adaptive Sunglasses increase contrast, improve distance and depth perception, and reduce distracting glare so you can see the game you love even better. Visit transitions.com/sunwear to learn more and buy a pair today.
The Grill Room, presented by Transitions Adaptive Sunglasses.
Welcome back to the Grill Room. I'm Big Bob, and he's Little Alex, or maybe it's the other way around.
No, you got it right the first time.
Well, I said, unless we're talking about wallets, then it goes the other way around. As we promised, around the world of golf we go. Why not start at the European Tour? Marcel Siem wins the BMW Masters, the first of three of that final series on the European Tour. Actually, he was in a three-man playoff with Ross Fisher and the other guy. His name escapes me right now.
Alex Levy from France.
There you go. And Siem chips in on the first hole to win. And here's what Siem had to say.
It means the world to me. I mean, I really didn't think I'm going to move up the rankings that much. Somebody said I'm fourth or fifth in the rankings now, and race to Dubai, which is unbelievable. I was expecting Alex to give us no chance, to be honest. But everybody played really, really bad, and that's. I had to look on the leaderboard sometimes because I thought I'm not leading anymore. I'm not even having a chance, and I'm so pleased to do the way with the chip in now to win the tournament.
All right, Mr. Maselli, let's go from the European Tour to the LPGA Tour. There, looks like the number one ranked player in the world showed why she has that ranking.
Yeah, NB Park held off Stacey Lewis to win the Fubon Taiwanese Championship presented by Taiwan Mobile. You know, what's interesting about this is that even with the win and the $300,000 she gets and her over $9.8 million in career earnings, she still is not on top of the Rolex rankings, which is kind of interesting. Stacey Lewis still maintains that position, because of her second place finish this week, but it's going to be very close. There's only a couple events left before you get to the CME Championship down in Florida, but right now, Inbee Park looks like she's playing pretty well, so it's going to be tough to hold her off if you're Stacy Lewis, even though she seems to be doing the best she can.
Yeah, and speaking of pretty well, Alex, you know, Lydia Ko has long gone by. You know, she's just a flash in the pan. She's had a couple of good tournaments. You know, that's all malarkey. Lydia Ko absolutely is the right deal. I think she's 17 years old now, third top 10 on the Asian swing, and she's third in the Rolex standings. I mean, this is remarkable stuff for a 17-year-old.
Yeah, she's got a lot of game. And I'm sure she's got to be at some point here, Bob, a little disappointed. She doesn't think of herself as 17. She doesn't think of herself as learning. She thinks of herself as wanting to win an event. And it's been a while since she has won an event, so I think she's probably a little disappointed about that. But if she continues to play this way and gets herself in position, as most guys on the tour will tell you, if you get yourself in position, something good's going to happen at some point. So I think that's what she's got to be excited about, is that she's putting herself in position.
Yeah, I think you bring up a good point there, Alex. It's not the deficiencies of Lydia Ko's game in any way, shape, or form. Winning now on the LPGA Tour is a lot tougher than it was just maybe 4 or 5 years ago.
And a lot of the reasons are because of the youngsters that are coming up. I mean, Lydia is just she's at the back end of all the youngsters that are out there. I mean, it's just, you know, Lexi Thompson is a good example. I mean, there's just so many good players now, and there are a lot of them are young, so she's going to be in this group, and she's going to have to find a way to a tournament win.
I think the biggest problem with the LPGA Tour is how much wider can Michael Wan's smile get? I mean, week after week, he has an outstanding event on the global stage. I mean, great things right now for that LPGA Tour.
Well, it's certainly maturing from where it was just maybe 3 or 4 years ago when Michael Wan came on board. It's taken a while, but I think it's only going up. It continues to go up. I mean, next year will be better than this year, and it will continue to go that way. So, you know, kudos to him for what he's done.
And we go to the Champions Tour. Mr. Maselli, Tom Pernice Jr., he wins the season-ending Charles Schwab Cup, a four-hole playoff, including the President's Cup captain, Jay Haas. Pernice made a birdie on the fourth playoff hole and had this to say.
Well, you know, I was just thinking last night, I said, you know, it's such a privilege to be able to be out here, first and foremost, to be out here and playing with Freddie Couples and Jay Haas and Kenny Perry and Bernhard Langer and, you know, Haler winning, Tom Watson. I mean, to be able to do that and compete and do what we do at our age is pretty amazing that this is here for us. And, you know, I just feel it's an honor to be able to be part of it. And, you know, I came out here today and just was trying to stay relaxed, and whatever's meant to be would be. And, you know, the good Lord willing has a plan, and it worked out.
Well, that was Tom Pernice. I mean, Jay Haas was leading after two rounds, and then kind of fell off in the third round. And it was really Kenny Perry and Tom Pernice, but Pernice won in the playoff over Jay Haas. But the more interesting thing is that Bernhard Langer, at 57 years old, had captured the Charles Schwab Cup before they even got to Scottsdale. That was a done deal with his five victories and two of them in majors. I mean, the guy has played unbelievable at 57. It gives all of us hope that we can actually still play this game. It is really incredible how well he has played at this age. And when you look at him and you see him, there's no way in the world that you think he's 57. I'm not even sure you think he's 37.
No, you're right about that. And because of that, I mean, you know, oh, wow, he's pushing toward 60. But he's in such great physical shape. Mentally, he has always been very strong. He's very content in his life, no outside drama, distractions. He truly is an unbelievable golfer. And I got every reason to believe that, you know, at 58, he'll probably play as well as he did at 57. He might even have a chance of playing better.
Well, it's certainly a good possibility. The only thing that's going to hold him back after next year is going to be the putting situation. But he's still got one more year of under the current rule, so we'll see how he does then. And look, you know, a guy made $3 million this year on the senior tour. I think that he's probably pretty happy with what's going on, no matter what happens in 2016.
Well, his next tour stop that we're going to make on our trip around the world is on the PGA Tour. And one of the things that you constantly hear on the PGA Tour about different events, and you hear a lot, you know, there are horses for courses. Certainly that has to pertain to what Ryan Moore just accomplished.
Well, that, you know, successfully defending the first time since Tiger Woods at the Arnold Palmer Invitational in 2012 and 2013. Unbelievable, shooting a final round 67 on Sunday to win by three. Wasn't the guy that I would have thought about as you saw the tournament progressing. There were certainly a lot of other names that were up there, including the Sergio Garcia, at times Lee Westwood, but there were some other names that you would have thought maybe would have won this tournament. But Ryan Moore clearly loves the golf course, and, you know, 567 in those conditions, it was great. And I think what's interesting is that Ryan Moore was one of the guys that were Tom Watson looked at for being on the President's Cup team. And now he moves up in the world rankings, up to 27th in the world, above Keegan Bradley, who was on the team, above Thomas Bjorn, above Webb Simpson, above Jason Duffner. I mean, he's above a lot of guys that we're talking about, Luke Donald. You know, so it's he certainly is maturing in his role now, even though he's got a swing that's not necessarily what you're looking for, but yet seems to fit him well. And so I guess the bottom line is Ryan Moore is a guy you're going to have to keep looking at and following, because at any time he can win a golf tournament, as he's proven again this week in Kuala Lumpur.
You know, Alex, a couple of points. One is I remember when Ryan Moore burst onto the PGA Tour scene, had his brother on his bag, got to meet his dad, had an unbelievable record as an amateur, and didn't get the results he wanted initially, but there always seemed to be a niggling injury involved there, and I think the worst one involved his wrist and really kept him from performing at 100%. And the other thing, you know, he was 11th on the Ryder Cup points list, you know, when Tom Watson made his selections. And I feel bad for Tom Watson. I feel bad for the PGA of America, because this story just keeps going on and on and on. And when Ryan Moore wins and then they look back, he was 11th on the money list. Why wasn't Ryan Moore picked?
Well, Bob, you know, that's why you have picks. You just pick because, you know, what you think is going to be best for your, you know, for your team. And obviously not, but that's, you know, that's spilt milk now. The only other thing I'd say about this is with his second-place finish in Malaysia, Gary Woodland is now 40th in the world, which solidifies him for – he'll definitely be in the top 50 by the time the world rankings come out at the end of the year. And what that means to him is basically he'll be in every major championship, even though he was still in – He would have gotten that way through the tour championship, but I think what it's showing is Gary Woodland, with working with Butch Harmon, is starting to see a lot of the successes that he wanted when he first turned pro on the PGA Tour.
You bring up a good point, because he's a tremendous athlete, and as good as athletic, I should say, as anybody probably out there. Working with Butch Harmon, he's got Tony Navarro, a longtime caddy for Greg Norman and longtime caddy for Adam Scott on the bag. It certainly seems like they're a team that we're going to have to really keep an eye on as we transition into 2015.
Well, I agree with you, Bob. So I think that's a pretty good segue into what we'll be talking about next. You know, the saga of the PGA of America and what happened is not even close to over, it seems like, Bob. I hear there's Still some grumblings going out there, and we'll find out what those are when we return with news and notes. You're listening to The Grill Room, presented by Transitions Adaptive Sunglasses, equipment for a visual advantage, and powered by Golf Week, where you get the inside scoop, inside the ropes.
The Grill Room, presented by Transitions Adaptive Sunglasses.
Want to improve your golf game? Improve your vision. Callaway and Transitions Optical have created Callaway Neox Transitions Adaptive Sunglasses, designed to enhance visual performance while playing golf. They automatically adjust color and darkness, sharpen depth perception, and offer superior clarity. You'll have more accurate distance vision and be better able to see the terrain and contours all day, regardless of weather and light conditions. Buy Transitions Adaptive Sunglasses at CallawayGolf.com or learn where to get a pair in your prescription at transitions.com/sunwear/Neox.
Sight is one of our most valued senses. Many cherished memories and important life lessons are acquired through sight. Through the Transitions Healthy Sight for Life Fund, we're reaching out in communities around the world to help people understand and protect their healthy sight. Think about what you'd miss seeing if you lost your eyesight tomorrow, and take steps to protect your vision today. See more at HealthySightForLife.org.
The outside light and weather change. Your sunglasses should too. Transitions Adaptive Sunglass Lenses change their level of darkness depending on the light outside to enhance your vision during golf and other outdoor activities. Partnered with Callaway, Oakley, and Nike, Transitions Adaptive Sunglasses increase contrast, improve distance and depth perception, and reduce distracting glare so you can see the game you love even better. Visit transitions.com/sunwear to learn more and buy a pair today.
Welcome back to The Grill Room. Your table's ready. Now here's Bob Bubka and Alex Maselli.
Hey, thanks for being part of The Grill Room. We really appreciate it. And as Alex mentioned before we went to break, the saga of the PGA Tour, the situation with the ousted president, Ted Bishop, I think you'll be interested in this, Alex. Last Wednesday, they had a meeting of the PGA, the Met section, which is one of the largest and, you know, probably has the greater concentration of talent of any section in the United States. I'm sure other sections will argue with me, but if you look at the record books, you'll see more winners come from there. And, you know, first off, Ted Bishop wrote a long, detailed apology. He wrote it to the members of the PGA, and in it he said, on Friday when I was asked the PGA officers why I was being removed, I was told it was because of three factors. There was a negative media reaction, potential sponsorships and ramifications, and many negative remarks from PGA Tour members. Well, I mean, one of the reasons being ousted is negative remarks from PGA members. A friend of yours, friend of mine, who's been in the PGA forever, by the name of Bob Joyce, asked for a straw poll at the Met section meeting as to whether the punishment handed out to Ted Bishop was just or was it unfair. There was 300 members in attendance, Alex. 300 stood up and said they felt that the punishment was unfair. Kind of a nice endorsement for Ted Bishop, who certainly has been getting beaten up over the last couple of weeks.
Yeah, I know. And the question is what was the real reason for his removal? I think that's a fair question at this point. And I think, secondly, is there a majority of the membership that believes he should have been removed? And I'm not sure in either case we're ever going to get the answer, but I think that it's clear that the theory of rush to judgment is becoming more and more a fact than the theory, and that's unfortunate if that's the case, and it sets a what I think is probably a dangerous precedent down the road if the organization or the association can remove someone for something that was a misstep versus misconduct. And I think there's a difference.
Well, and I think our listeners, if you haven't had the opportunity to read Golf Week, the story that Alex Miceli did in there will shed a lot of light. As you can tell, the voice is starting to get a little weak. So what we're going to do, I'm going to have an unscheduled timeout here. And when we come back, we're going to talk about Dustin Johnson.
You're listening to The Grill Room, presented by Transitions Adaptive Sunglasses.
The outside light and weather change. Your sunglasses should too. Transitions Adaptive Sunglass Lenses change their level of darkness depending on the light outside to enhance your vision during golf and other outdoor activities. Partnered with Callaway, Oakley, and Nike, Transitions Adaptive Sunglasses increase contrast, improve distance and depth perception, and reduce distracting glare so you can see the game you love even better. Visit transitions.com/sunwear to learn more and buy a pair today.
The Grill Room, presented by Transitions Adaptive Sunglasses.
As promised, we were going to talk about Dustin Johnson. And I got to say one thing before we even talk about Dustin, who's on his voluntary leave of absence, quote unquote. When he left the tour, he was ranked 17th in the world golf rankings. Since he's been suspended, or since he's left the tour, will not admit that he's been suspended, Alex. He's moved up two spots. He's now 15th in the world golf rankings. What's going on with that?
Well, there you go. There's a good example of why there's something wrong with the rankings. Don't you agree?
Boy, I mean, you can't have a better example.
No. Beyond the fact that he's moved up in the rankings, he's moved down in probably the Fortune 500 of richest players on the PGA Tour. Dustin Johnson is suing his old friend, Matt Hardwick, who was, in fact, the partner in the Morris, Schneider, and Winstat firm in South Carolina. It seems like there seems to be a discrepancy of something around $3 million that Dustin lent to the law firm on an agreement that he would receive $4 million back over a period of time. And I said, I said the wrong name on Matt. It was Nat Hardwick. It's an ongoing saga because Nat Hardwick left his firm a couple months ago. He was sued by his firm. The same people that are at the firm are part of this new lawsuit, as well as Hardwick, who basically says he's done nothing wrong. And Dustin Johnson looks like could be out the $3 million because of the fact that the firm could actually go bankrupt. So he has sued them. We know very little beyond that, except for the fact that he lent them the money. He was supposed to get the money back plus $1 million basically in interest over a 30 month period. And when two payments became, there were two payments in arrears, he decided to go after them, and they actually threatened him with disclosing, which I find is quite interesting. This law firm threatened to disclose information about Dustin Johnson that was information that was gained as they're representing Dustin Johnson. So it's certainly a big problem, Dustin Johnson, here. Dustin Johnson has been named prominently in the lawsuit with Vijay Singh. In both cases, both the Vijay Singh lawsuit and in this lawsuit, most of the information about both suits and what's going on with them has been closed by the courts. So, you know, you're not going to get a lot yet, but at some point stuff, the information will start leaking out. But Dustin Johnson is, again, in the courtroom. And according to one story that I think was on the Golf Channel, the plan for Dustin Johnson now is not to return to the PGA Tour until after his girlfriend gives birth to their child. So that could mean that we're not going to see Dustin Johnson until March or April of this year.
Well, the only good news in that situation is at least she's pregnant. I mean, so we know that at some point, in the near future, he'll be able to come back. Also disclosed in that story about Dustin Johnson, probably not surprising, but a couple of huge payoffs to a couple of different casinos had to be made on, on behalf of Dustin Johnson. So you're right, the money is dwindling, but he is playing some great golf. Yeah. Heard he shot a pair of 61s at Tiger's old stomping grounds out there at Sherwood.
You know, Bob, I'm not sure about the payments in regards to Dustin Johnson, but I think there were Nat Hardwick payments, his payments for his gambling issues.
Oh.
A lot of the money involved was like $3 million that he used to pay off debt, also for private jets and so forth and so on. So I don't think they were Dustin Johnson's debts. So I just want to clear that up. The next thing that we will try to clear up is the Olympic course update. It seems like down in Rio, there is this desire to change the current golf course because of environmental concerns that supposedly were vetted a long time ago. But sometime this week, we will probably get the final decision on if the course that has been built is going to have to be changed. And if it is changed, will it actually fit the requirements and the criteria that are necessary to have the tournament on this golf course? So it's going to be quite interesting. There are stories from the AP that have been reported through outlets in the United States. It's so unclear what's going on down in Rio because it is such a screwed-up place. I think there's no other way to say it. And because of this, we're only getting information the best we can, but there's a good possibility that we will have an answer to this ongoing saga, hopefully sometime this week.
Alex, let me ask you this. If these changes are required, do they have enough time to implement them?
I think they do, Bob. But again, I don't know exactly all the changes. And in talking to Gil Hands a couple months ago, he said that they could be done. But, you know, every day goes by, it makes a difference. They've grasped most of the golf course, is what I understand now. So the golf course is ready to go. In regards to the grassing, they just need everything to grow in. So this would mean that they'd have to go in with construction and do other changes. That means they have to change not only the land, but they're going to have to change the system, the sprinkler systems, move, you know, paths and so forth and so on. There's got a lot of things they'll have to do. But it's amazing how fast they can do these things. So I'm assuming yes, without any information at all.
Let me ask you, because I've been wondering myself about this. If Gil Hands could turn back the clock and know what he knows now, do you think he would have agreed to come on this project?
Last time I saw him, I don't think the last time, but the time before that, I might have texted him. And I asked him that exact question, and he said yes.
Wow.
You know what? At the end of the day, he's the first Olympic golf course architect in the modern century.
Right.
So, I mean, that doesn't change. That'll never go away. And the course may not even be there in 5 years. Who knows? But, I mean, he was the guy. And really, when you think about it, from that day on, not that he didn't have a resume of his own that was significant, but from that day on, he is named in almost every potential project that's out there.
Well, I feel bad about this next item in news and notes. I tried desperately to get a hold of Jay Haas to offer him a ride on your private jet that's taking you to China. I figured you could drop Jay off in Korea as he goes there for a President's Cup visit. But I was unable to contact him in time. Looks like you're going to be sitting in that private jet by yourself, Alex.
Oh, I was reading Twitter, and I saw someone, I forget which player it was, saying that they just saw Jay in LAX on his way to Korea after playing at Scottsdale. He has got to go to Korea for a media day for the President's Cup, as everyone should know. He is the U.S. President's Cup captain, so he's going to Korea for media day. And he's going to turn right around, get back on a plane, flight all the way back to North Carolina, I think to Charlotte. So pretty tough round trip for Jay Haas after losing in a playoff to Tom Pernice.
Yeah, but at least he had that victory a couple of weeks ago. All right, you're listening to The Grill Room, presented by Transitions Adaptive Sunglasses Equipment for a visual advantage and powered by Golf Week, where you go inside the ropes. Time now for Focus on Vision. When we return, we'll hear from Lewis Wellen from Oakley about the importance of wearing proper sunwear.
You're listening to The Grill Room, presented by Transitions Adaptive Sunglasses.
Sight is one of our most valued senses. Many cherished memories and important life lessons are acquired through sight. Through the Transitions Healthy Sight for Life Fund, we're reaching out in communities around the world to help people understand and protect their healthy sight. Think about what you'd miss seeing if you lost your eyesight tomorrow, and take steps to protect your vision today. See more at HealthySightForLife.org.
The light changes, the lens changes. It's as simple as that. Nike and Transitions Optical have collaborated to create a new lens technology that is both responsive to light and specifically engineered to sport performance. Nike Max Transitions Golf Tint Sunglasses will help improve contour recognition on the golf course and increase ball pop. You'll literally see your game in a whole new light. Buy a pair today at Nike.com.
The Grill Room with Alex the Sizzle Maselli and Bob the Steak Bubka continues right now.
Well, it's a bright, sunny day, and eyeglass wear is critical. We're finding out more and more how we need to protect our eyes with the proper sunglasses. And I'm talking now with Lewis Whelan from Oakley. And we were talking before we started this interview about Transitions adaptive sunglasses. They really are the state of the art.
Absolutely. It's the best technology in the sunglass business as far as lens options goes. And as I was just saying, the transition technology allows somebody to put on a glass early in the day when the sun might not be quite as bright as it is as the day goes on. And they don't have to change their lenses throughout the course of the day. The UV light activates the lenses, and you can have four lens tints in one as the day goes on. So we have the transition technology in several of our sports performance models. And as I was saying, I think it's some of the best technology in the eyewear business.
Is it safe for me to say you're leading the industry in eliminating players from wearing sunglasses on their hat and keeping them on their eyes?
Well, I've been out here for, plus 20 years educating the players about the importance of protecting your eyes. One of the first things I say is, do you wear sunscreen? And most everyone says, of course I do. And I say, well, your eyes are 100 times more sensitive to the sun than your skin is, so why wouldn't you use some eye protection over your eyes? And we've done a lot of educating to the tour players and to any consumers that are using our products and teaching them the benefits of protecting your eyes. And out here at this level, if there's a way for a player to get an advantage in making themselves better and making themselves perform at the highest level that you have to do out here, they're looking for every little advantage they can. And we've proven, and athletes in all sports have proven, that if you're protecting your eyes and your eyes aren't having to work extra hard, and your little eye muscle having to focus more during the course of the day, and the fatigue that you get from the sun and your eye having to work so hard, at the end of the day, you're going to perform better. And that's proven facts in any sport. So eye protection is now becoming something that a lot of athletes are looking at, especially out here where these guys are out here in the sun all day, every day. And having lenses on that protect your eyes from every harmful element the sun can throw at you is critical. It's critical for performance, and it's critical for long-term health care. So more and more players, every single event that we're at, and supplying products to players and educating players about the benefits of eye protection and how it enhances your performance, that's what we're here for.
All right, we're back. Alex Maselli, Bob Bubka, feeling under the weather, but still here, showing up. That's what I like about you, Bobby. Even though you're under the weather, you're still showing up. I want to also thank Lewis Whelan for his informative suggestions about sunglasses, sunwear. I mean, it's so important. We talk about that every week on this show. All right, let's turn our attention to what's next on the schedule and run through these relatively quickly, Bob, so that you can get back to bed. Let's start with the LPGA Tour, the Mizuno Classic at Shimshai, Japan. It's the last of the extensive Asian adventure for the LPGA Tour. Only two events left on the schedule. After the Mizuno Classic, the Lorena Ochoa Invitational in Mexico. And then, of course, the final event of the season, the CME Group Tour Championship in Naples, Florida, which is really actually one that is quite interesting because it's a big event for the women. And CME Group has done a great job with the event. So we'll see what happens there. We'll see if actually Stacey Lewis can hang on or if Invy Park is going to catch her. Then we got the European Tour with the trip that I'm going on, which is the second event of the Fall Series where all roads lead to the DP World Championship of Golf in Dubai. It's the World Golf Championship HSBC Champions at Shenzhen International in Shanghai. Dustin Johnson is the defending champion and will not be in the field for reasons that are still unclear to most of us. Ian Poulter's last European Tour victory was at the event in 2012. He finished second in 2013. I think he does like the venue, but what's interesting about Ian Poulter is if he wins again, will he buy another Ferrari? That seems to be what he seems to do. He's got an extensive collection of Ferraris. I think it's also interesting to see what happens here because both Tiger Woods and Rory McIlroy will not be in the field, so it'll be a pretty wide-open event. And the PGA Tour has two events, obviously the World Golf Championship, World Golf Championships HSBC Champions is in China, where Billy Horschel, Bubba Watson, Martin Keimer, Adam Scott, Sergio Garcia, Henrik Stenson, Justin Rose are some of the headliners. But back in the U.S., Bob, I think there's also a PGA Tour event.
Yeah, but before we get to that, I know you're getting ready as we speak for your trip to China.
I am a traveling man. Well, I ain't.
For the many that have never made that trip, can you give us just maybe a couple of things that you definitely want to do and a couple of things that you don't want to do when going to China?
Well, Bob, I don't want to get sick.
Well, God, I'm praying for you on that one, buddy.
You know, what's interesting is this is a very quick trip. I'm leaving on Monday from San Francisco. I get in on Tuesday. I'm leaving on Sunday night from Shanghai and flying right to Turkey. So it's a five-day adventure. Where the venue is in the suburbs of Shanghai, and which is the largest city in the world. So the suburbs of Shanghai doesn't really mean anything. It's still part of a large, huge metroplex, I would have to say. But I never really go anywhere except for the hotel and the golf course. And the last time I was there in Shanghai, which was 2 years ago, or 3 years ago, because that was the first one I went to, it was great because I got there a little earlier. I got on a little train. I went into the city, walked all around Shanghai, took pictures and everything else. I'm going to have no time for anything, no clubs, no nothing, just me, my cameras, because I like to bring them, shoot some pictures of the golf course and the players, write stories, jump on a plane, and fly to Turkey. So not much going on, but I am serious about the fact that when I go to these places, if it's Shanghai, if it's Istanbul, you see all these street vendors with all this great food cooking right there, and it kills me not to eat any of it, but I'm just so concerned that if I do eat any of it, I'm never going to get home alive. So I don't do any of that stuff. It's going to be a quick trip, and considering how much time and effort it takes, it's a 13-hour flight just from San Francisco, and the visa process itself, because of the fact that we're journalists and so we have to get a special visa because there's concern about us writing about something other than golf. It's a lot, but it's still worth it.
Let me ask you a question based on what you just said to me, Alex. Is there a special medication that you are required to take because going on a trip of this nature and the close proximity to golf courses you're going to be at and no golf clubs, is there an anxiety medication or withdrawal medication that you're going to prepare yourself with?
That's why I went to Bandon Dunes, Bob.
Okay, he got his golf in at Bandon Dunes. He can leave the club. Well, you mentioned, Alex, there was a PGA Tour event here in the States. It's the Sanderson Farms Championship, it's called. It's at a brand-new golf course this year, Country Club of Jackson. I hear it's outstanding. Of course, being in Jackson, Mississippi, and Woody Austin is our champion from last year. All right, all I can say, my friend, before you get on that plane to China, I really hope you have a great time. I know you'll be able to take some great pictures. You're as very talented as a writer, but I think you got other skills as a photographer. And I like how sharp you are when it comes to camera equipment, because I remember at last year's U.S. Open when I found that huge camera with this huge telescope laying on the ground in the parking lot in the dark. And when I said to you in the morning, God, Alex, you won't believe I found this big camera with a big lens laying right on the ground. And you didn't hesitate. You said, probably belonged to a photographer.
Yes, I know, Bob. It was one of my better days, I bet.
Have a good trip, my friend. And enjoy that 13 hours in the plane, and we wish you the very best. And I know we'll be getting a report from on the Grill Room next week, probably, whether you'll be in China or whether you'll be in Turkey, but we will have a very special edition.
That's it for this week. You've been listening to the Grill Room, presented by Transition Adaptive Sunglasses, equipment for a visual advantage, and powered by Golf Week, where you get the inside story every week.
A big thank you to all our partners, Transitions Adaptive Sunglasses, and to Golf Week. So for Janice Self, our executive producer, Alex Maselli, and myself, Bob Bupka, thank you for being part of our Grill Room family. Please follow us on Twitter at TGR Golf and on Facebook at the Grill Room Golf Show and on golfweek.com.
Thanks for spending some time in the Grill Room. No need to leave a tip. Just come back again next week. The Grill Room, presented by Transitions Adaptive Sunglasses.